Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today, we are continuing our conversation on
binary trees and also binary search.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halpert, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts. Last episode, we talked about what makes a binary tree as opposed to just a regular tree. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that it is very searchable, which is a really great segue into the star of today's episode, the binary search algorithm. So let's start by tackling the first part of that, which is the binary search part. What is that?
So binary search is a way of retrieving data from a binary tree. And as the name would suggest, you are searching through this data structure, the tree data structure, in order to find something. As we kind of talked about last episode, and as you can imagine, with a very large data set, ends up being something you might do often and can be pretty important because you might be looking for one specific item in a very, very large set or a very, very large tree of information.
Okay, so how does the algorithm make it easier to sift through large sets of data? Like, where does the size of the data come in?
Well, the way that binary search works is kind of like an elaborate game of 20 questions. And I can give you an example.
Okay.
So let's say that I am thinking of a number between 1 and 100. Can you guess what number I'm thinking of?
Okay, so I feel like the right way to play this game is to just start in the middle, right? Like 50.
I think that's pretty wise. All right, so what are you going to ask me?
Okay, is it higher or lower than 50?
It is lower than 50.
Oh, okay. Is it higher or lower than 25?
It is less than 25.
Okay. Is it higher or lower than 12?
Bigger than 12.
So it's a teenager. Okay. Is it higher? Is it higher or lower than 20?
It's exactly 20.
Oh, yay, I did it.
Yeah, you did. How many? I was about to say, how many questions did you do that in?
I forgot. Okay, wait, hold on. 50, 25, 12, 4, I think.
Nice.
Four questions. That's not too bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And you basically just ran binary search on a data set of 100
yeah.
100 items. And that is basically, like, you asked me, is it less than or greater than? Is it higher or lower than this number? And you started with the number that was kind of smack dab in the middle. And what you really were doing is you were performing binary search by eliminating half the possibilities as you went along. If this was a tree structure, then the root node would be what?
Okay, so that's the number that I'm starting with. So 50.
Right. And like in this example, we're imagining that this is a perfectly balanced tree.
Yes.
And, you know, there are 50 nodes on the left and 50 yes. nodes on the right. Mm-hmm. And there's a number right in the middle, which is our root node. Mm-hmm. And our root node is 50. And so basically what you were trying to do in guessing the number is I was saying, guess this, you know, find this number, whatever this number is, in this huge tree of 100 nodes. And you mm-hmm. started at the middle. You started at the root node. And you were like, is it less than or greater than this value, mm-hmm. which you didn't mm-hmm. even know.
Yeah.
And as you went along, like the first time you asked me, is it less than or greater than 50? And I said less than. Did you even bother considering anything bigger than 50?
No, that'd be so silly.
Yeah, it would be silly. But then also, like, suddenly the number of things you had to search through split in half.
Yeah.
And now instead of 100 nodes, 100 numbers, mm-hmm. you only had to search through 50.
Yeah. And even as I was asking the next number, I could just visually see my own, you know, window of options getting smaller and smaller. Like I visually saw half of the numbers disappear. And I was like, okay, now I'm on this side, you know, and now I'm, okay, I got to switch over to the right side of this number. And yeah, I didn't think of it as a binary tree, but that's basically what I was doing. I'm going left or I'm going right. I analyze again. I'm going left. I'm going right. And I just keep doing that until I get the number.
Yeah. And like, you had a very good instinct at the beginning where you were like, I'm going to start with a number in the middle. I feel like mm-hmm. that's the smart way to do this.
And
like
safe. That,
yeah, it was safe. And it was also really clever because you used what we've learned about binary trees in a previous episode. And you were like, all right, somehow instinctively you knew I'm going to start with the middle thing. Mm-hmm. And then you basically divided the number of things you had to look at.
Yeah.
And you slowly narrowed down what the actual number this, you know, magical, mystical number in my head, mm-hmm. you narrowed down what it was. And actually what you were doing was using something called divide and conquer.
Oh. Oh, that sounds like a bad thing. That doesn't sound nice at all.
I guess in political ways, maybe not. Maybe it's not advisable. But searching through elements, it's great. And there's actually this idea of divide and conquer algorithms, which binary search as an algorithm is a divide and conquer algorithm.
Oh, so there's different ways that you can divide and conquer.
I guess it's more that there are some algorithms that will use the idea. Yeah, some algorithms will use the idea of like, here's a large data set. I don't know where to start. Let me eliminate possibilities and then kind of break it up into pieces and then slowly get to the results that I'm trying to get to. And yeah. different algorithms, as you said, will do it in different ways. But the idea is kind of the same.
Yeah. Okay. So you do realize that we performed a binary search algorithm earlier today.
I do. I'm just a little ashamed of how big the number was. Should we tell everyone what happened?
I love so much this. Shame. This was so not planned, completely accidental, and it wasn't until we were talking, you know, we were reviewing the blog post and talking about it where I said, oh my God, we did this. We did this naturally. Okay, so when we were trying to guess, we were talking about how many emails are in our inboxes, and I was trying to guess
so
the
bad.
Number of unread emails are in your inbox. And now I'm replaying the conversation in terms of the binary search algorithm because I was the first step for me was finding that node, like that root node. And mm-hmm. I was trying to think, okay, where do I want to start? And if you remember, I asked you questions like, okay, so how bad is it? And and you're like, it's pretty bad. And I'm gonna say my number first, just, you know, so you feel better. First of all, according to my Gmail, I'm only at like 200. I feel like the inbox zero people are like completely freaking out right now. But on my mail app, like on my iPhone, it doesn't count. Like, I don't think it counts like archived emails or something. And so I'm at like 58,000. And
oh my gosh.
And so when I was trying to find that root node for you, I was thinking, okay, is it bad like Saran's inbox bad, or is it, you know, bad from an inbox zero perspective? Because those people, like, you get 20 emails and they're like, oh my God, the end of the earth, how can I get through this? Okay.
Yeah.
So I was trying to feel that out. And then finally, I think I said, okay, are we talking
like hundreds or thousands. So I was asking for, you know, for feedback on that.
Mm-hmm. And I was trying to get that root node.
Yes. And and I think you
trying
said thousands.
To get that root node.
trying I feel to like fish there's... it out of me. Basius podcast, the remix.
please look for our mixtape dropping probably never because I can't sing.
Dropping soon, along with our t-shirts. And so I was trying to find the root node, and you said thousands, and I said, okay, I'm gonna go for it. And I can't remember the first number I asked, but I think I said what did I say?
Like, it's like 20,000 maybe or something.
Is that the percentage?
Or maybe 10,000? I don't know. I remember it was like big, but not. Also, I was like, I'm not that far.
No. I started low. I started with because I didn't want to make you feel like too bad. So I said, is it like I think I said, is it like a thousand? Is it more or less than 1,000?
Yes. You
and
did.
Actually, you know, that question doesn't even make sense because you already said it wasn't in the hundreds. But anyway, I picked a terrible root node. But I started with that and you said more. And I said, okay, how high up do I want to go? So I guess the difference is that unlike the game we just played, the 21 questions, I didn't have an endpoint. So I didn't know the highest. Like, I knew it wasn't, I guess, in the hundreds of thousands or the millions, but I didn't have like a clear endpoint. So I could have gone very high on one end. But yeah, we played that game and I kept asking, is it, you know, higher or less than, you know, 10,000? Is it higher or less than 5? And then eventually we got to the comparably less shameful number of, what was it, 5,000 something?
Yeah, 5,208.
That's not that bad. You can do it. You can get there.
It's going to be like 209 by the time this recording is over. It's fine. I've given up. I moved on. I've accepted it. It is just my life. And I'll just open a new email account. It's fine, guys. Don't worry. I got this.
I love that solution. As if the problem is just going to go away. They just continue to ignore it. It's a very healthy coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. Okay, so divide and conquer. Okay, so even in the examples that we talked about with 21 questions and with figuring out how many emails you have, the way that I'm envisioning those two is that we have a list of numbers, right? Yeah. It's like the lowest is zero, the highest is, you know, 58,000 if you're wrong. And you know, it's kind of like it's a list. It's sequential, and I'm, you know, asking questions to traverse it, but it's still in a line. But we've been talking about trees. So how does that work?
Yeah. So I kind of was envisioning it the same way too when you were kind of asking me, is it bigger or less than, you know, 50 or, you know, 5,000, whatever the number is. It felt kind of like, you know, you're scanning an array or something where you're like, all right, where do I want to start at? Where do I want to start at? What's going to be my root node? But if you kind of imagine, like, say, let's work with something small and we're like, we have, I don't know, 1 through 100 and you pick the root node of 50 instinctively. Mm-hmm. What you kind of can visualize is if you took the number 50 and you picked it up by like a little thread and you lifted it up.
Ooh.
Then that would be your root node, and all the numbers less than 50 would like kind of settle into place, and all the numbers greater than 50 would settle into place. And if you lift up the root node of 50 with a string, then you can imagine that now you have the number 50 with a left subtree and a right subtree. And we know that that's going to be ordered in a specific way because it has to follow the rules of a binary tree. So what you were doing is you were scanning through your list of numbers. You were kind of like going through your array and you were like, I'm going to pick this number. And you didn't actually say, oh, here is my root node exactly, or here's, you know, a tree. You were like, I'm going to pick a number.
Yeah.
But what you were doing was you were implementing and using the binary search algorithm without actually thinking of it as a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you could do that is because in your head, as most human beings will know, numbers are in an order. So you're like, I know there's 1 and 2 and keep going to 100. So visually, you were kind of, my guess is, you were looking at this set of numbers and you're like, all right, 50. Now I'm going to look at the left side of the list, and the right side of the list doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You weren't necessarily thinking of it as a tree, but you were using the same binary search concept when you were playing the game.
So every guess that I made would naturally be either the left child or the right child, depending on your answer of, is it, you know, is it bigger or is it smaller?
Yeah, totally. As I answered, you were like, all right, now I'm going to go look at the left side of this number that she just said, or the right side. And you were basically, you were walking down the tree in the same way as like, you were like looking at one section of the list or looking at one portion of the array of numbers, if you want to think of it that way. Yeah. But you were doing the same thing. You just maybe were visualizing a different structure in your head.
Yeah. Okay, so does this mean that I can use this algorithm for things that are not necessarily binary trees, like the, you know, like the list of numbers 1 through 58,000? Like I didn't make nodes for that, right? But I still use that algorithm to help me get to the right number.
Yeah, yeah, you can use the algorithm, you know, anywhere as long as you can rely on the fact that all of the data is going to be sorted.
Yeah.
Because if I had just gone and said, actually, I'm thinking of a color, you know, of the rainbow. And then you're like, I don't know. Like, there's no order to that. I mean, theoretically, you could probably even figure out a way to do that. Yeah. If you could assign a number and, you know, make it easier. But
probably
like
hex values.
Yeah. That would be fun. There's like 16 million of those. So.
But good luck. Yeah.
But I mean, you could use binary search and it would be interesting to see like how quickly you could figure out a hex value I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. Binary search would still be powerful. But I guess what I'm trying to get at here is as long as there's some sort of ordering and you know that there's a sequential order that you can search through, you can use binary search no matter what.
Very cool. Okay, so when we were talking about guessing the number of emails in your inbox, I don't remember how many guesses it took me to at least hit like the ballpark of it. I think maybe it was like, seven or eight, which is a lot less than if I went through 1 through 5,000 one by one, right? Like way, way less guesses, much shorter time. So I guess in that way, I can see the power of the algorithm and how it comes in handy. Is there a way to quantify that power?
We can quantify it. We haven't really talked about big O notation in the context of binary search. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a lot of the stuff we've talked about in terms of big O notation is either linear, which means as our input grows, the amount of time or space that it takes to do something with it increases linearly in proportion. Mm-hmm. Or we've talked about things that are constant time, which means it doesn't matter how big the input grows, it's going to take the same amount of time. And the binary search algorithm is kind of unique in that it actually cuts the problem in half each time as you go through the steps. So that means like every single time that you guess correctly and you are like, all right, is it bigger or less than a number? Every step that you take, you eliminated half the possibilities. And any type of algorithm that cuts the problem in half and like reduces the steps in that way is something called O log of N, which is an algorithm that runs in logarithmic time.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really talked about that too much yet. But what I can tell you is that logarithmic time is way, way, way better than something that's exponential or quadratic. It's almost like the opposite. And it's actually even better than linear time. It's faster than that. Because even if the input grows, like imagine if I had said instead of pick a number between 1 and 100, I said pick a number between 1 and 10,000. If you said like, is it bigger or less than 5,000, it's still like you're still eliminating a lot of possibilities. So that makes it pretty efficient. And logarithmic time is like a great thing to strive towards because often it's hard to find an algorithm that lets you do it in constant time. And, you know, if you have a large data set, the smaller the amount of space or the quicker that you can search for something, the better. And that's hard to do. So logarithmic is generally like pretty good if you can manage to find an algorithm that does that, which thankfully binary search does.
Okay, so it sounds like this algorithm is awesome. It's fast, it's efficient. Where do we actually get to see it in real life?
So one of the ways that you might see it, and you might have actually already interacted with it, is in a database. Databases use binary tree data structures under the hood, and they actually use something called a B tree or a T tree.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, yeah. I'd only actually heard of one, but apparently there's also T trees, but Who knew? But at the end of the day, they're binary trees under the hood. And a database will actually use indexing, and it'll use binary search to figure out which row something belongs in and retrieve it pretty quickly. And that's something that is super powerful when you think about a database that might have, you know, 10,000 or 100,000 rows in it. Like, that's a lot of stuff to search through. But it can use binary search because it's like, oh, I know the data's ordered and I can just grab a row really quickly. But I think my favorite example of binary search is with this Git command called git bisect. Mm-hmm. Have you ever used it?
I haven't used it, but I know of it.
Yeah. I'm not good at using it when I should. And then I see other people doing it. I'm like, man, I should really use this more. Mm-hmm. But git bisect basically uses binary search when it helps you debug things. So when you use git bisect, you basically tell git, this is a bad commit. This has a bug, or this is, you know, a regression or whatever. And here's a good commit. Here's, like, you know, a clean commit on master or something like that.
Yeah.
And git bisect will be like, all right, here's my one point and here's another point. Here's, you know, the good commit and the bad commit. And then what it does is it asks you, starting at the middle, whether a certain commit is good or bad. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically like starting at the middle of a list, or, you know, at the root node of a binary tree. And then it's like, all right, is this good or bad? If it's bad, then I know I need to go to one side of the tree, you know, look at one side of the list. If it's good, I know that all the commits preceding it are also good.
So I really like this example, because the question isn't, is the number bigger or smaller? It's still taking advantage of the fact that the, you know, the commits are linear, and it's, you know, like there, it is sorted by when it was made. But the question that we're asking is something different. The question we're asking is it good or is it bad?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're basically trying to figure out, is the value of the thing I'm looking for this commit or is it not? Mm-hmm. Is this the commit that introduced the problem, or is it something else? And it's not necessarily a number in this case. It's like, is it good or bad?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So that, to me, opens up the application of the algorithm, because it's, you know, as long as the thing that you are assessing, the question you're asking, right, is it good or is it bad, as long as that has a relationship to the order, the organization of the commits. So as long as that relationship, so as long as that relationship exists, it doesn't always have to be a larger than, less than assessment.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. And that's the end of today's show. If you liked what you heard, leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post on binary trees. Link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I help make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee. Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. That turned out pretty good.
Yeah, that was better. Okay. It's long, but it's better.